tell me what started this project. Who started it, and how did it get going?
Jonathan Miller, the editor of the book, called me along with a few other folks. I do some writing on their website, on his website, The Recovering Politician. As you may know, he's the former treasurer from Kentucky. And he said, you know, there's a few of us that have been in the political world that have dealt with different issues and how to handle, you know, crises or scandals. And he said, I just think there's a lot of wisdom to be gained that folks in the corporate or athletic or even average individuals that have situations happen could maybe learn from those lessons. And he said, would you be interested in helping write a chapter for the book? And I said, yeah, I'd be happy to. And so he kind of pulled us all together and got it organized.
So we've got two Missourians among the 12, I guess, that are contributing to this. There's you and Jeff Smith. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, Senator Smith. And that's how I met Jonathan, or I assume Jonathan heard about me and contacted me because he had known Senator Smith before he knew me and asked me to write on his website, The Recovering Politician. So, yeah.
Well, the book is called The 12 Steps. What are the 12 steps? Because I'm sure you've been through all 12 of them.
Well, each of us took a different step. I would say depending on the crisis or the scandal somebody went through, how they went through some of the steps could vary, or some of the steps wouldn't be applicable depending on your situation. But, you know, I just wrote Chapter 7, which was basically how to say you're sorry, admit you made a mistake, and move on. Yeah.
Do you talk about how eagerly or how readily people accept apologies when folks like you who've been in the public eye run into a problem like this?
Yes, I addressed it. I mean, especially I think as a politician, and, you know, if you look at my situation where I really, I guess the candid way to put it was I'd been somewhat very hypocritical on what I'd said and what my actions in my personal life were. And so, you know, I think when you make an apology, when you've made a mistake, I think people, especially if you're a politician, they tend to really doubt whether you're serious about that or whether you just got your, you know, as they say, got your hand caught in the cookie jar. You're sorry for getting caught, but you may not necessarily be sorry for your mistake. And I think a lot of times that just takes time of people watching you, looking at you, and wanting to decide whether you really did feel like you made a mistake and you really are sorry for it, or whether you're just trying to save your skin and get out of a tough spot.
Is there a process folks go through when they're put in situations like this where they have to come to some kind of a reconciliation with themselves so they put themselves in a position where they can make a sincere apology and can get on with their lives?
Well, you know, I address there's different kinds of mistakes. I mean, there's just honest mistakes where people just do something wrong. I don't think it was pre-planned. They didn't intend to. They don't file paperwork right. They do something wrong. And I think those are easier for people to forgive, and I think they're easier to overcome most of the time, not always. But then there's other mistakes where people, you know, are out there doing something, you know, deliberately wrong or something that they know they shouldn't be doing. And I think usually the process is, and I outline it in my chapter, is the first thing they try to do is hide the truth, you know, and avoid the truth. They don't want people to know. They deny it. They hope it doesn't get out. Because, you know, they've done something that they're not proud of or they don't think is right. And even when you make an honest mistake sometime, or people make honest mistakes with paperwork or whatnot, they even try to hide that if it's coming out. And usually that's not the best policy. That usually just causes you more distrust, more problems, more pain. And but I think that's the first step. And then once it gets public and you can't keep it under the rug or you can't keep it quiet, that's where you really have to come to grips with it. And, you know, I think people have a few choices. Sometimes they can, you know, really admit that they made a mistake, or sometimes they can blame it on others or blame it on the system. I mean, your first recourse is always probably in your mind to blame it on somebody or why you did this and justify it. But you know, eventually, depending on, I guess, the person, the situation, you have to come back to yourself and, you know, take responsibility for your actions and really that you just made a mistake. And hopefully you learn from it and, you know, improve whatever line of work you're in or whatever your life goal is.
How long did it take you to reach that point?
Well, for me, it didn't take very long. I think because of the way I'd been raised with my mother and father, and especially when you look at the situation with the lady and the one night stand, I mean, I knew that wasn't right. I knew I shouldn't be doing it. It wasn't the kind of lifestyle I'd preached or talked about as a politician. And so whenever the spotlight got shined on that and it came out in the public, it took me not very long, because the first phone call I had to make and the toughest one was to my father. And, you know, being a Baptist preacher, that was something I really dreaded. He was such a good person, you know, just somebody that, you know, always lived just exactly in public as he did in private. And here I was as his son, having to call him and tell him that I was getting, you know, accused and charged and arrested for some, you know, terrible one-night sexual situation. And that pretty much strips your pride away, and pretty much you have to come to bearing with it very, very quickly. And fortunately, my father was very, he prayed for me. He didn't approve of it, but he prayed for me and was very forgiving and loving, as you would. I didn't know if he would be. He was always kind of a tough Marine guy, but he was just very helpful to me. And that was probably a big part of helping me see that I'd really screwed up and made a bad mistake. And probably just being honest and truthful was the best way to move on, instead of trying to, you know, hide things.
Yeah, I heard Jeff Smith talk last fall to a Missouri Association of Counties meeting, and he talked about that kind of conversation that he had to have with his parents and his then fiance, and he said that was probably the hardest part of the whole thing was having to talk to these people and admit that he'd done something wrong.
Yeah, I had a good buddy in my situation that gave me a piece of advice. He said, "Rod, you know, really, it doesn't matter whether you're guilty or not. Your enemies, even if they declare you not guilty, are going to always use it against you and hate your guts." He said, "And your friends aren't going to probably care if you're guilty either way. They're still your friends. But there's this sense of letting down your friends and your family and those that love you and you're close to. When you really make a stupid mistake, you really feel like, you know, obviously you're upset with yourself, but you really feel like you let those folks down." And those are the hardest conversations with your, you know, my daughters and the people that are close to me. You know, it's tough. You know, there's no, but you know, you can't blame anybody. You put yourself in that situation. You make a mistake. You have to deal with it.
Now, Jeff Smith now is writing a column about politics, and a kind of an advice column about politics. And so he's still kind of involved in politics, but he's of course not able to be in politics. Are you the same way, Rod? Are some doors closed for you politically in your career because of this? But how are you feeding your own interest in politics now?
Well, I guess, you know, I've started the newspaper, the Missouri Times here in Missouri, that covers politics and the public policy process. I don't have the desire to want to run for office, but even if I had it, I can't imagine with, you know, the mistakes that I guess nothing's overcome. You could overcome anything, but, you know, when you make the kind of mistakes on a moral standpoint that I made, I would think people, your enemies, your political enemies, could use that very easily against you. So, I mean, for me, I enjoy politics. I enjoy following it. There's a lot of things about it that you learn when you make a mistake. In one sense, you're glad to be out of it. It's a tough occupation. It's tough for people in both parties. They've got a lot of pressure, a lot of people pulling them a lot of different ways. I've enjoyed the press side of it somewhat, because it's different, yet it's very important. The press, as you know, the budget cuts and the economy, the way things are changing, there's just not as many reporters. But really, and especially in term limit states, there's so many big decisions that are made, and there's so many less reporting or investigating or looking into those decisions of why they're being made and what the ramifications are. That's what's kind of gotten me interested in continuing to try, I guess you say, be involved in politics on a outside basis. It's not as much pressure, I can tell you that. And you don't get pulled in hardly very many directions compared to when you're in the hot seat and you're in charge and you're in control making decisions.
I've given some speeches where I go back in history to the early 1900s, and a big scandal at the Capitol that wound up with the lieutenant governor being forced out of office and four senators being indicted on bribery charges. And one of the points I make, because I go and I look at these senators, what happened to them later on in their lives, those that I've been able to find out what happened to them. And they all bounced back. They all recovered. They were never back in politics, but they went on to have successful lives. And the point that I make is that one mistake doesn't ruin you forever. There's always redemption. There's always an opportunity to take your life into a worthwhile direction otherwise. And it seems to me like, based on what you're doing even before you founded the newspaper and now the newspaper work, that's true in your case too.
You know, I very much am excited about it. I mean, because you're right. I mean, there's a time when you make a mistake and you really feel like you have messed it up so bad that your life is over. But, you know, you're still breathing and you can learn from mistakes and hopefully be a better person for them. And, you know, politics is a great education. I will say that. I mean, I don't know of any other occupation where you meet so many different people and learn so many different things, which can prepare you or help you to be successful in lots of different endeavors in the future. And so I think you just have to, you know, dust yourself off and get up. And I guess that's why Jonathan asked me to write the column, because, you know, that's really the recourse I had. There's a lot of different ways to handle a crisis or a scandal or a mistake. But sometimes the best way is just say, I really have messed it up and I've gotten off path from what I intended or planned, and, you know, reevaluate it and as you say, have a second act. And that's the other great thing about the book. Most of the stories in there from the different chapters, when the gentlemen or the people, ladies and gentlemen, tell their story and kind of talk about how to handle their step. There's a lot of people that are on second acts that have made mistakes or had issues and overcome them and learn from them and are better people today and very successful at the thing that they're going into.
Jeff Smith said he had 9,000 addresses on his cell phone before he had his problems, and he never heard from 8,000 of those people. Is that where Rod Jetton was?
I don't know that I had that many. I was very fortunate. I had a lot of email addresses, and obviously when you're going through the midst of the troubles and being accused of bribery and the FBI looking into you, you don't hear from very many people under that scenario. But I sent some emails out apologizing to family and friends, and I've just been amazed at the as bad as I let people down, as much as people were dependent on me to do better, I've just been amazed at the amount of calls and contacts and friendships from whether it was major donors or cousins or uncles or family members or just friends. It's just amazed me how much kindness I've shared. Even a lot of some what I would call very much political enemies have been kind to me after my troubles.
Yeah. Well, Rod, I appreciate your time this afternoon. This is going to be an interesting book, and I suspect that there's going to be a lot of people who have some problems in the future who will find this to be a valuable thing for them as they try to figure out how they can bounce back from it. And you guys, you and gals on the book are going to say, sure, you can. You can recover from this. You can get on with life. There is life after politics.
Yeah. I think that's the key point of it. I mean, each of the steps outlines some ideas and ways that they might handle a situation if they've made a mistake or have a crisis or a scandal. Not all of them are going to be the end of the road. There are ways to handle the media, handle the press, put a good spin on things. But the theme behind the overall book in each chapter that I found encouraging and interesting as I read it, obviously they have some interesting stories, but it's that no matter what happens, no matter how bad your mistake is, you know, you can overcome it. You can rebound. You can learn from it. You can still be somebody that, and most of these people were politicians and they got into it because they wanted to help people. And so it doesn't mean you can't still help people and you can't have a second act and an enjoyable life. And that's probably the best thing about the book for somebody who's going through a hard time or a crisis if they reads it.